T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mean, I got to keep doing what I've been doing. Just get back to the basics, just get back out and just keep playing football. I mean, that's the last thing I'm worried about. I mean, first thing I'm worried about is just doing my job and doing the best I can do to help out the team.
Dale Arnold.
Who would you rather have the rest of the season?
Patrick Mahomes.
Rich Keefe.
Ballpark plays. I know the short porch. I know we have the big wall here.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Yeah.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We've already heard from Peter King today. We've already heard from Brock Holt today. We've talked a lot about, you know, David Price pitching game 2 of the ALCS against the Houston Astros. Turning our attention a little bit to the Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. This is always, we always do this, and it's wrong because they're never on the field at the same time, but we always do the, oh, this is a Mahomes-Brady matchup.
It is. Well, it isn't, but it is.
We sort of compare and contrast the two.
Yes.
But, you know, this, there's lots of hashtag hot sports takes this week.
Because I hope so.
Patrick Mahomes got off to the sizzling start. It's kind of come back to earth a little bit the last couple of weeks, and mm-hmm. Brady is the wily veteran, perhaps the greatest of all time. So we got to take you to first take because you just knew that if it came to a Mahomes-Brady, you know, give and take back and forth, you knew where Max Kellerman was going to go.
Who would you rather have the rest of the season?
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the most electric quarterback I've seen since Brett Favre. Tom Brady's better than Brett Favre ever was.
You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes
than Tom
Brady.
Patrick Mahomes is, you know, with fresh wheels, a fresh arm, a more imaginative play caller, and better offensive weapons, I'd rather have him. Now, if you were to ask me who I'd rather have in the postseason.
Well, some reason that audio cuts off there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was dumb anyway. So that this season also, the postseason counts. Isn't that part of it?
Yeah.
Right? You hope
you
that this
assume
season
that they'll be in the postseason.
Goes to February. That's what the hope is. So he's saying just for the regular season, he wants Mahomes. All right, just for the regular season, I want Andy Reid every year. Like, what are you talking about? I do think that I still would take Tom Brady for this season over everybody else. That could be the homer in me, but I would take him for this season. But if you're
but
talking,
if you're talking about future, you'd obviously take the kid.
You'd take Mahomes. Of course you would. If you're swapping him out, I mean, even best case scenario for Brady, you're talking 3 or 4 years. It's probably more likely 2. So, of course, you would take Patrick Mahomes over Brady. But for this season, and why would you even have to ask? Well, if you're asking me postseason, yeah, that's the point. That's why everybody would pick Brady, because we have no idea what Mahomes in the playoffs is going to be like. I like Mahomes. He's great. He can chuck the ball 1,000 yards. He can run with
throw
it a little
with either
bit.
Hand.
He can throw with either hand. The guy's a magician out there. But Tom Brady is still the answer for me. And then also, he goes, when you're talking about the quarterback, aren't you comparing the two, like who would you rather have like on whatever team? He's saying Mahomes has better weapons. Okay, well, wouldn't that be more of an advantage Brady then? Like if you gave Brady
sure,
all those guys?
I'm also not sure that they have better weapons now. I mean, for a while there, you know, when you didn't have Julian Edelman and you're still trying to get Josh Gordon up to speed.
Yeah, it's probably close, but I think Tyreek Hill is the best receiver on both teams, unless Josh Gordon turns back into what Josh Gordon was. Kelce and Gronk are pretty close to
pretty
a
close.
Wash, aren't they? And then Kareem Hunt.
And,
yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but
James White's really good, too.
I mean,
Hunt can do both. Hunt you can hand the ball to, and he can run with it.
Well, first take had to go get a guy who could actually talk some about football to bring into this
outside
mix.
Of Max?
Outside of Max.
Oh, okay.
They went and got
I'm going
hit.
With Tom Brady.
Shocker.
It's always been a slow build in New England, and Patrick Mahomes has started fast. And Max is right. He's more electric of a quarterback. I mean, the things he can do athletically, Tom's not going to do any of that, but I think with the Julian Edelman suspension, the first four games, you're now welcome to the 2018 New England Patriot offense. This is what it's going to be. The triangle of trust, which I like to call it, Gronkowski, Edelman, and James White. Those type of players where those are his first three reads. You know, if you've got Josh Gordon down the field on a tendency breaker to go down the field. He'll do that too also. But now, if I'm Josh Gordon, I have a perfect situation to where I don't even have all this attention. I can just focus on myself and run my handful of routes and just be a part of a winning team. So I think the Patriot offense and Tom Brady, they're the ones that's going to continue to surge throughout the season. So, of course, I'm going to take my former teammate.
Yeah, of course, but he's right. like that's not just because he's his former teammate. It's because, again, if the question is for one season, then, yeah, you'd still rather have Tom Brady. And you're right, you know, you go back to week three, and if you were comparing tight end receivers, running backs, it's not even close. But since then, the Patriots have added Edelman and Josh Gordon. Now, Sony Michel has also come on strong, but now he's a little bit banged up. But I think the Chiefs probably still slightly have that advantage. But these are two of the best offenses in the league.
To your point, obviously, if you were talking about, you know, which quarterback do you want to have going forward, you'd say Mahomes. You know, Tom Brady's 40, 41 years old. You're not gonna pick that guy.
Yeah, you'd be nuts to think otherwise.
But if you had to pick one quarterback to win one game now, today,
yeah,
it's not even close.
I'm going with Brady.
Every time.
Yeah, I'm going with Brady. I don't know why. I think you're overthinking it if you don't, right? Like, if you try to come up with a reason to, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, I guess, or Drew Brees.
Well, I was talking specifically these two.
Oh, just with these two, but yeah. With these two guys, it's not even close. No, I mean, and again, I like Mahomes, but it's been five games. And we've seen players before have unbelievable starts to their career, and sometimes they can't always keep it going. You know, Robert Griffin III is one that stands out to you. He was Rookie of the Year. He was even better than Andrew Luck that year. Then injuries and things have sort of knocked him out of the game. Cam Newton has sort of had an up-and-down career. He came onto the scene, same thing, scoring a million touchdowns, running and throwing. He was awesome. But then he's had his ups and downs. He had an MVP in there, but he's also had some missed playoff runs. But all we've seen from Patrick Mahomes right now, yeah, he looks like the real deal. He looks like one of the top guys going. But for one game, somebody who's playoff-tested, which he is not, you're definitely going to take Brady.
Max talked about more creative play calling for Mahomes. I assume what he meant was that Mahomes is somehow calling the plays, which he isn't. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator.
I guess. I don't know. Brady,
Josh Gordon
stuff
isn't.
Here.
I mean, McDaniels? Josh McDaniels isn't creative offensively calling plays.
I guess not.
Why? Because we saw Patrick Mahomes throw one left-handed. Do we suddenly think he's more creative because he did that?
Let me tell you, that wasn't the play call. That was not the play call. So, yeah, I mean, they do some stuff, but so do the Patriots. I mean, it's not like the Patriots just line it up there. I mean, they do so many things. They make the league change rules. Or the Shane Vereen, like who's eligible, who's not eligible. Like the Ravens had no idea what was going on. They'll do wide receiver passes. They'll do all kinds of stuff. So I think it's a pretty creative offense as well. Now, the Chiefs may score more points by the end of the year than the Patriots, but I bet it'll be fairly close.
When you look at it, and it's hard, okay? We are all obviously biased and jaded in our opinions here.
Yeah.
We've seen this Belichick-Brady combo for a long time be very successful. But if you look at it, doesn't Belichick usually come up with something to confound a young quarterback?
Yeah, he does. I mean, but we've also seen, you know, inexperienced quarterbacks have big games against him too. You know, we've seen it in the past. Like, I know he wasn't a young quarterback, but Alex Smith carved him up in a couple of games, like just video game numbers. And so we've seen sort of I feel like both as far as that is concerned. He does have the extra time to prepare, you know, going from the Thursday game, knowing the Chiefs are on the schedule. Maybe that's a little bit of an advantage for Belichick and the Patriots, whereas the Chiefs had to have not nearly as hard fought of a game as you'd hope for as a Patriots fan when Kansas City faced Jacksonville, but they had to play them on Sunday. The game is at home. So there are some advantages for the Patriots, but regular season-wise, Kansas City has matched up better against them than anybody has.
Patrick Mahomes didn't start his starting career as good as Jimmy G did. He won seven in a row.
Well, let's see what happens.
He's not there yet.
No, he's not. Although, I mean, he could. He might start better. His stats are a whole lot better than Jimmy Garoppolo's were.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure. I mean, if you could have Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, I think most people would take Patrick Mahomes.
I would.
Yeah, I definitely would. Well, I know you're anti-Jimmy
Garoppolo. No, I'm not. I just, and we can't tell this year because
he got
hurt.
It's such a shame that we don't even have that storyline.
So we don't have that. Because all I said was, not only is he not all pro, I'm not sure he'd be a Pro Bowl quarterback this year.
Yeah, maybe not this year.
Look at the NFC.
No, I know.
I mean, I know everybody gets hurt or everybody says they're hurt. They end up taking like 12 different quarterbacks before all is said and done.
Yeah. But, I mean, for young guys anyway, I mean, two of them that are on these great wagon undefeated teams, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, I think both look better than Jimmy Garoppolo's ever looked. And then one guy who I had completely written off, who the Patriots are going to face in a couple of weeks, is Mitchell Trubisky. Now, he's
we
just
all
a rookie.
Sort of mocked him.
Yeah, like, this guy sucks. He was a rookie, but all of a sudden, it's early for him, but he looks pretty good too. Then you got Carson Wentz, you know, who was the MVP until last year. So there's all of a sudden a sort of an influx of good young quarterbacks.
Okay, first of all, Jimmy G is a mocking star.
She's not ruling him out. She doesn't care that he's
she'll
out for the
season. She'll stop talking about him now that he's hurt.
Bigger than he's ever been.
Hard to beat that, right? That's pretty.
I'm not sure.
That's
she was
high
talking
praise.
About the same thing that we are, but you don't know. Might have been something different.
I think it's definitely what I'm talking about.
617-779-7937. John's in Andover. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to go. I think Goff and Mahomes, both guys have been dropped into probably like the best situations you could expect a quarterback to be dropped into. Between having Todd Gurley and the supporting cast that Mahomes enjoys, these two young quarterbacks have great supporting cast, and take a look at their coaches. I mean, those are two coaches that are offensive innovators, and that's the reason why both those guys are shining.
Yeah, I mean, I give them credit as well, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they are in perfect spots.
No, they're good quarterbacks, obviously. I mean, they're making it happen. You can be given the tools, but you don't get the job done. But I do think that KC is very beatable in terms of this is where Sony Michel may pay dividends for his draft pick, because I see Belichick maybe having to open up the offense if they get behind, but I also see Belichick as looking at time of possession as really important, and Michel could drive the whole game plan for KC and the Patriots.
Which is why if he's not able to go Sunday night, that could be an issue for the Patriots, because I happen to agree with you. I think he is quick.
That would be brutal.
Yeah, he's be quickly tough. Become a very important part of this offense. Running backs have an ability to have an impact much sooner than most positions.
Oh yeah, you see rookie running backs
happens all the time.
Big years all the
hit
time.
It and, you know,
I mean Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara last year, like those guys were right away. They were great, but yeah, Sony Michel. And we don't know, but limited yesterday with a knee injury. Dale's not able to go through the walkthrough today.
At least the media portion. He was on the sideline on the exercise bike.
But that would be devastating, too. Not just because you could use him, but he started to build up some nice momentum. The last 2 weeks have been pretty good after a slower start. You know, missed camp or, you know, was hurt. Didn't play in any of the preseason games. Looked like he had really started to get something going. And that would just be a real shame for him individually.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Rob, do you feel weird you haven't scored a touchdown in four straight games?
No. I mean, we're winning. We won the last two. But, I got to pick it up. Got to start scoring.
They are not going to fall into any traps this week. That was Rob Gronkowski yesterday, who's only got one touchdown. That's one of his five, you know, bonus points that he's got to hit.
Yeah, he's not hitting those.
He's well behind the pace on that.
The way things are going, yeah, he's on pace for, I guess you would say, three touchdowns. He only has one through five games, and he needs to get to nine, I believe is what it was, because he has to do just better than every one of his stats from a year ago. So last year, he had 69 catches, 1,084 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So add one to all of those, and that's what you're looking at with Gronk. So he's actually on pace for the over on receptions. He's on pace for 74 because he had 6 catches this past Thursday against the Colts. So he's on pace to break that. But he is also on pace for under 1,000 yards and then, of course, under the touchdown. So, but he's also he's capable of a 150-yard game with two touchdowns and getting right back on track. But the way things are going, he is certainly off the pace.
And Brady is, too. Brady's not in position for any of his five.
No, one of them he is. Touchdown passes, I think he's tied for third.
So
touchdown passes, I think he would get as it stands right now. The other ones, though, no, because there are so many guys. Again, 70% completion. I think Mitchell Trubisky's at 70%, and he's outside the top five. And that's one of his
Trubisky
incentives.
Is at exactly 70%.
Yeah. And so, and that wouldn't get you top five right now. And we're getting a bigger sample size here. This isn't two or three good weeks.
This is 5 weeks
in. They've all played
now.
Five games. It's a third of the season that's gone by, and all these guys are putting up crazy numbers. The yards per attempt, quarterback rating, yards, touchdowns, those are all Brady's incentives, and it's going to be real tough for him to get them.
Can you help me with something?
Probably.
Because you're kind of my NBA source.
Yes.
Can you explain what Jimmy Butler's trying to do here?
Oh, there's a lot of conspiracies flying as it relates to Jimmy Butler. He wants out of Minnesota. That I do know
Except
to be true.
What he did yesterday makes it hard for any team to want to trade for him.
So Jimmy, let it fly as it relates to Jimmy Butler, who yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski was the first one I saw. So these are just a series of tweets with Jimmy Butler and the Wolves. And so Minnesota and Miami have been working together on a deal, and it looked like maybe they would get something done. Then Minnesota was asking for more. Miami said no. Then Miami said, we want to start over. So Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota, but apparently he showed up to practice
yesterday. First of all, they said he gave up a lot of his leverage by showing up to practice.
Shows up to practice. So here's Wojnarowski yesterday. He says, All-Star Jimmy Butler participated in Minnesota's practice, a session that included him verbally challenging teammates, coaches, and front office. Butler was vociferous and emotional at times, targeting Thibodeau, Layden, Towns, and Wiggins. So he's yelling at the coach, the GM, and the two other best players on the team. At one point, according to Woj, Wiggins, during a scrimmage, turned to GM Scott Layden and screamed, quote, "You bleeping need me. You can't win without me."
And yet he's demanding to be traded.
Butler left teammates and coaches largely speechless. He dominated the gym in every way. Woj says Jimmy's back. Then another thing he adds, a lot of Minnesota players left Timberwolves practice today energized by Butler's performance, mesmerized with him taking end of the bench players and running the table on the regulars.
Yeah, supposedly him and the third stringers beat the first stringers.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And then so at the end, he marched out like a mic drop. Butler delivered a tour de force. But then he apparently, this must have been random. He shows up at practice and is a lunatic out there. And then he sits down with Rachel Nichols on SportsCenter.
I'm just going to read a little bit of Adrian Wojnarowski's report on what happened there, that you were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layden, quote, "You effing need me." How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest. Me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines. And
I was going to say, is it not the right way for it to come out? Do you think it was the wrong thing to do? Or was it an okay thing to do?
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game, and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing, playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
So yesterday, after his practice performance, when he went nuts, supposedly he called Rachel Nichols. And he said, "I want to talk." She literally hopped on a plane, flew to Minnesota, went to his apartment and taped this thing.
Yeah,
you just
and then they put it yesterday, last night on SportsCenter.
So today, the Timberwolves have taken the bull by the horns.
Oh, yeah.
They canceled
Ooh, bull,
practice.
Oh, bull, I like that. Good job, former bull. Nice.
They canceled practice. So there will be no media availability today because I think they were afraid of what was going
to
happen.
They don't know how to handle this. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know if this is the right move by Jimmy Butler. He wants out. He apparently shows up, dominates practice. So he proves that he's the best player. So why would they want to trade him then? They're like, well, if we're going to go anywhere, we need you, but you want out. I also don't know, and maybe the answer's out there somewhere, I guess he doesn't like Thibodeau anymore, even though he played with him with the Bulls, and now he's back with him in Minnesota. I mean, Thibodeau plays him into the ground. He plays him more minutes than just about anybody else in the league.
Well, supposedly the whole deal was, when he demanded to be traded, Thibodeau doesn't want to trade him. The GM doesn't really want to trade him.
No.
But the owner doesn't like the bleep show that it's become.
He wants
to trade him.
Yeah.
But supposedly their asking price is so high.
Yeah.
That the only team that's even still returning their calls is Miami.
Yeah, right.
They know they can never get him signed as a free agent at the end of the year because they don't have the salary cap space, but they can acquire him in a trade. But I don't think any of the other teams in the league, they're all saying, A, you're asking too much, and B,
yeah.
Is he going to be like this when he's in our
yeah,
locker room?
Where is he going to be happy? And we're going through this once again. We did this with Paul George. You did it go back to Carmelo, whatever, all these different guys that had 1 year left on their deals. Like, that's what you're like, what do you give up? What's fair for Minnesota to get back for 1 year of a guy, especially if you send him somewhere to Miami, because by all accounts, Jimmy Butler wants to go play for the Knicks or the Nets, and he wants to play with Kyrie Irving. But at least, thankfully, Kyrie Irving kind of put that nonsense to bed when he said, hey, I'm coming back to the Celtics. So now Jimmy Butler is left kind of without a team or without a super friends group to go to a franchise.
Now, when he's a free agent after this season,
he can go wherever he wants, but
he's made it impossible. Well, at this point, it seems impossible for him to stay with the group he's with.
Yeah, he's not.
And nobody
there.
Wants to acquire him because the price is too high, and he sounds like a nut job.
He sounds crazy, and he's been pretty quiet before this. Like, of all the NBA guys that you would think would do something like this, Jimmy Butler was kind of lower on that list.
I remember. One of the great things that ESPN does, and I know people in Boston and New England don't think ESPN does anything well, but they do this series of events with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the one they did last year where Jimmy Butler's got this kid and he's with him all day and he's letting this kid drive one of his cars. He's a teenager, by the way. He's not six.
He's a teenager. Nine-year-old boy driving all the time.
He's letting him drive one of his cars. He's playing basketball with him. He's bringing him home to have lunch. You watched the piece and you went, what a neat
guy.
Guy's really a cool guy.
He just wants out. He wants out of Minnesota. And I guess a strange way of showing it. Like, you know what? I'm going to go and dominate and prove that I'm the best player on the team. And
then tell them you can't win without me. Oh, but by the way, trade me.
You can't win without me, but I don't want to be here. So you're kind of reinforcing the owner's point of, or I'm sorry, Thibodeau's point of, we need this guy.
Yeah.
Like, obviously we need this guy. He was sort of the missing piece because with Towns and with Wiggins, you're like, all right, that's a good young group, but is that even a playoff team out West? And then you add Jimmy Butler to the mix, and yeah, it is. It's a playoff team. It's not a championship team, but it's a playoff team. And you got him for one more year. You know, they traded a lot to get him. I mean, you go back to, you know, Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn and like a draft pick, which I think turned into Lauri Markkanen. They traded all that for Jimmy Butler for just 2 years, or in this case, what might only be 1 year.
1 year.
That's definitely not what they signed up for. But I don't know if he's going to get what he wants. It might just come down to how much will Miami give up? Like, will Miami give in and say, hey.
And why should they give up much? Because apparently they're the only ones still in the running.
Not only are they not the only ones still in the running, but you get 1 year of him, and you put him in the East. If you put Jimmy Butler on the East and you give up, you know, Josh Richardson or whatever else you have to give up, they're not better. They're certainly not better than Boston. They're not better than Philly. They're not better than Toronto. Like, they're still not. It's not like it puts them over the top by any means.
And don't misunderstand the question, because the Celtics don't have room and probably even the desire.
Yeah.
But the assumption around here is, well, if Brad had this guy, he'd fall in line. He'd be one of the guys. I'm not sure Brad could fix this.
He maybe could. I mean, if he's happy. I mean, I'm good with the team that the Celtics
yes.
have. But if he's good buddies with Kyrie, I'm sure they could make it work. I'm sure they could figure it out. because he hasn't been a problem I don't really remember before. Like, I know he's not great in the playoffs and he has his issues. I think he's a bit overrated, honestly. Like, he's, you know, a guy who's going to put up 25-5, and that's all well and good. And he plays a little bit of defense, but there are more than 10 guys in the league better than him. And I know a lot of the ratings from this summer, they have him in that top 10, which I was surprised by. But, yeah, I can't imagine game one of the regular season, though, just in a week or two away, he's going to be playing for the T-Wolves. It's going to be kind of awkward, I would say.
Almost impossible.
He clearly hates everybody.
I mean, now, right. Now apparently they've decided, well, we can't practice. He might show up.
They should just run him out there with the second unit. Maybe just, you're like, hey, you're never playing with Wiggins. We'll figure it out. That's weird.
They cannot figure out what to do with him. They can't find a place to trade him. The owner is overruling the GM and the head coach. He's saying, no, I want to trade him.
So then
usually,
like,
the owner wins, right?
We're going to cancel practice. Yeah, the owner usually comes out on top there.
The guy who writes the checks gets to usually tell the other people who to write the checks to.
Right.
And if the owner is saying, I want him out, let's go, let's get him out of here.
And it's funny, you know, basketball is sort of the opposite of football, where in basketball, the players, they really call the shots. Like, these guys, when they want to go somewhere, more often than not, they end up going there. Whereas in football, they have no rights, no guaranteed money, no nothing.
It's interesting to watch from afar.
It is. Yeah, it's not your problem as a Celtics fan, so you can just look
and
at it.
And as a Celtics fan, happening. You watch your team.
Yeah.
By the way, you open Tuesday against an ALCS game, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
But you do open Tuesday.
Yes.
Thoughts are high. Everybody's feeling good. Well,
everybody's pumped. No?
Except the Gordon Hayward stuff's making me nervous.
Yeah.
The whole back thing.
That's not an ideal. Coming back.
Had an injection in the back.
Oh, boy.
And said it was getting progressively worse. I mean, you've got all these other issues that he's trying to come back from, and now he's got a bad back?
Yeah, not good. Not a fan of that. T-Wolves, meanwhile, let's see, when do they open up? It's got to be this week. Wednesday, so the day after they play at San Antonio. Will Jimmy Butler be there?
On the team? No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, I don't see how that works going forward.
It's too much.
And when you have a team that doesn't have, you know, these soap opera issues, you go, okay, this is kind of cool. I mean, we're sitting here 100 feet away from, you know, the Celtics practice facility. Whatever comes out of here.
Not only do they not have a problem, the one potential distraction for the year, Kyrie Irving put that to bed.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm coming back.
I want to come back.
Because that was going to be the question every single week. Was, is this the last year of Kyrie? What's going on? Is he going to leave for New York? Is he going to leave for Brooklyn? Nope, he's done with that. So now people are going to have to come up with another kind of distraction for the team.
All right, when we come back, what else you got as we close things out and get you ready for OMF? It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, time to clean up a few things that we may not have covered throughout the course of the previous 4 hours, what we like to call. Oh, I just
caught. What else you got?
What else you got, Dale?
When was the last time you thought of the name Ray Caruth?
Oh, actually, not that long ago, because I was watching a documentary called The Staircase that was on Netflix. You saw The Staircase.
It was great.
So you know that, like, his main defense lawyer?
Is that the show that Dale spoiled for me?
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so you know the main defense attorney?
Yeah.
He is sort of a celebrity attorney, and one of his other clients, besides Scott Peterson,
Ray Caruth?
Or not Peterson, whatever that guy's name was Ray Caruth. So anyway.
For people who don't know the story, back in 1999, Ray Caruth's former girlfriend, Sharika Adams, who was 7 months pregnant with Caruth's son, was shot while driving her BMW in Charlotte. Ultimately, Caruth was arrested for conspiracy to commit murder and attempted murder. When she died in December of 1999, a month after the shooting, he was also charged with first-degree murder, found not guilty. Their son, Chancellor Lee Adams, was actually saved by doctors despite the shooting death of his mother. Yeah. He'll turn 19 coming up next month.
Wow.
He's got some physical issues, as you might be able to. He's been raised by his grandmother all 19 years.
Wow.
And the reason I bring all this up is because, believe it or not, Ray Caruth is going to be released from prison on October 22nd.
I knew he was up for parole. So they went through with that. He's come. Oh, my God.
Less than 18 years. Is what he ended up serving after, you know, he was convicted. And Among the charges he was convicted of is conspiracy to commit murder, shooting into an occupied vehicle. I didn't know that was...
How does this guy get out?
And using an instrument to destroy an unborn child.
How does this guy get out? That's insane to me. And oh, by the way...
He is out coming October... And by the way, says he wants to develop a relationship with his son.
What?
That's what he says.
No. Also, college teammate of Christian Fourier.
That's right. I think Christian did say that.
College teammate of Christian Fourier.
All right, your turn now.
What else you got?
Well, it's Red Sox and Astros. Who do you want to break that game down? Well, I'll tell you who you want to break that game down. Former Red Sox skipper, John Farrell.
I think the one thing that you take from this New York-Boston series is the tightness of the games, the toughness, the stage in which these guys play on. They'll walk into a league championship series, right. A team that they're well aware of. We got knocked out by the Astros a year ago. Here's a chance to redeem themselves. Astros coming off a dominating series against the Indians. This is going to be a very good seven-game series.
Well said.
I don't think you can even argue with him, can you?
Good breakdown, Rossi.
The question I have there is it okay for him to say we, or do you think it's okay when he says they? Like, how do you do that?
You don't say we. If you're in the media, you never say we, period.
He said we.
Yeah, I know.
We lost, but yeah, but he was a part of the losing. So
if he was talking about a team
think he was. Yeah,
he said last year we lost.
Yeah, he's right.
No, that part's fine. He can't say, you know, well, we've got a heck of a chance to beat this Astros team.
No, not now.
You can't do that.
They'll walk into a division, a league championship series, a team that they're well aware of.
Yes.
We got knocked out by the Astros.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good there. He's right. He put it on himself there.
He was okay.
Because he wasn't like when we won the World Series in 2013. At least he was talking about, you know, the most recent stuff when they lost.
By the way, if you get a chance, you feel like going out tonight at the Garden.
Yes.
I think the best young player in the National Hockey League, Connor McDavid, the Edmonton Oilers are in town. Yaroslav Halak is starting, not Tukarask.
The Halak Nest Monster
is getting the start tonight. If you're not going to be at the Garden, and I recommend that you go there, if you're not, we kick things off on Nesson at 6 o'clock.
Game's on Nesson.
Cheap plug. We're just going to work that in. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you. We're stopping by!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.